This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
The 10-Minute Time Out is a mini podcast that brings Mississippi sports stories to life. Join me, Lacey Alexander, as I learn more about the teams, athletes, staff, and programs that make our state proud. One-on-one interviews with influential playmakers paint a clear picture for listeners of how Mississippi sports inspire and energize our community. New episodes released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting app. From MPB Think Radio, this is In Legal Terms, the show all about you and your rights. Our host is usually Professor Richard Gershon of the University of Mississippi School of Law. He's out today. I am Liz Gill. You know, when you listen to the show today, you're probably going to go, wait, is it Friday already? Why is Camille King on the show? Well, our Superman co-host of Next Stop Mississippi is our expert guest on In Legal Terms today. And the reason Camille King knows so much about the music events going on around the state is because he is a music and intellectual rights lawyer. Did you know that, folks? So, good buddy Camille King, introduce yourself to our Tuesday In Legal Terms listeners.
I know. Hey, Liz. So weird being up here on Tuesday. Like, wow, I'm in the Twilight Zone. And Jermaine is on the board.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm here. I'll be the silent one.
Okay.
Oh, no. Chime in, Jermaine. But yes, thank you for having me. What did you ask me? What do you want me to do?
Introduce yourself. You know, okay. you're not here representing Visit Mississippi. What's your other day job?
Yes. Well, I'm Camille King. I'm an entertainment attorney and intellectual property attorney. I've been doing that now 18 years. And I do that under the law firm of Frascona Law Group, which is very close to here, right in across from Highland Colony. And yes, I've been doing that a long time. I grew up in the entertainment industry under my father, Lee King, who has been toured with James Brown all the way to concert promotions, artist management, record label. I mean, the man does it all. And of course, having a TV show, Black Gold, on for 21 years, which was a spinoff off of American Bandstand and Soul Train. So, yeah, I do all things intellectual property. I deal with a lot of music. Music is mostly my specialty, but I certainly deal in a lot of sync rights. I deal in a lot of authors. I deal with authors and motion pictures and things of that nature, and literary. But I really, really focus a lot on music law.
Well, and, you know, this is... you know, that's what we're going to talk about today. Mississippi has so many artists.
Oh, God, yes.
It's just unbelievable. I know when my daughter went to Girl Scout camp somewhere in another part of the country, and her swap, we made like little records that said, you know, Mississippi, birthplace of America music.
Yes.
Start by... you know, explaining the relationship between, you know, Mississippi and music. How are we special? What, you know, this isn't Utah. This isn't Indiana.
Exactly. Right.
Talk about the wealth of talent and the history. Talk about the history of music in Mississippi in 3 minutes.
I know. We'll need a little bit more than an hour. But yes, Mississippi is most certainly the birthplace of America's music. I mean, gospel was born here, which is, you know, the grandmother, grandfather, the genesis of all music. Blues was born here. Jimmy Rogers, which is the father of country music, is from here. Elvis Presley, you know, the icon of rock and roll. So, you know, the seedlings that grew all music came from the soil of Mississippi. And we can claim that title and say it with pride, because it would take 20, and this is a fun fact that I think all Mississippians should have in their hip pocket, regardless of what you know about Mississippi and what is good about it and what you try to tell everybody. One thing and one bullet that you can shoot at anybody from anywhere else that they can't shoot back is that it would take 28 states in the United States of America and combine them together to make the number of Grammy Award winners winners and nominees that Mississippi has. So it's just an explosive hotbed. It always has been. It always will be. It is just something different about Mississippi that produces musical artists, producers, literary talent, fine artists, you know, all forms of intellectual property, but specifically music, we dominate.
And this, listeners, folks, this is a pretty popular call-in show topic for In Legal Terms. So if you are a aspiring or a noted or a just a wannabe musician, poet, writer, songwriter, musician, DJ, this is your chance to ask your questions about what's the can and cannot do's, how to protect your creations, how to not trample on anybody else's creations.
Sure.
This is your chance to ask some questions of our great guest, Camille King, intellectual property attorney. Remember that phone number to call in is 1-877-672-7464. I'll also be checking our email account, legalterms@mpbonline.org. We just got finished with Drive, so I'm having to swap
phone
numbers.
I know that's right.
I'm
you
saying.
Do so much, Liz.
But and speaking of Drive, we just had our pledge drive, and we are so grateful to all the listeners who did call in.
Yes.
And who made their contribution and who understood that we can't do this show without
most
the
certainly.
Help. You know, we need the callers to call
yes.
in with the questions, but we also need the listeners to contribute their money to help our show put it on. So
yes, yes.
I've been doing this show for a few years, and since I don't use legal knowledge every day, I always just forget. Is there a good quick and dirty at the difference between copyrights, trademarks, and patents?
Yes, yes. Wonderful question, Liz. Wonderful question. Most people use those terms interchangeably just because they don't know what the difference, but there are some stark differences. Copyright protects, and the legal term of it is any form of art and expression in a tangible medium. So that's anything from a painting that's captured in the tangible medium of a canvas, that is digital art, that is music captured in the tangible medium of a recording. It goes on and on. So artwork, a logo, you know, graphic art, all those things are copyrightable, which means that expression of art, that song, that logo, that painting, that sculpture can be protected so that nobody else can duplicate it in whole or in part without infringing upon your intellectual property. Now, think about intellectual property the same way you think about your car title or a deed to a home. There is a chain of possession that happens when you're doing a deed search and you want to buy a home or a car. And that's the same thing when you create something. You protect it. You file a U.S. copyright, or I would do it on behalf of a client. They get back a deed or a U.S. copyright, and it says, hey, I own this expression of art that I created. No one else, and I can defend it with this. A trademark is I wouldn't say a higher form of protection. It's certainly more expensive and a little more involved. That is to protect a brand name as well as maybe a logo. So think of the Nike name as well as the Nike swish and the Nike term, just do it. So you can protect a logo, a brand name, as well as a catchphrase connected to that brand. So when you are coming to protect, let's say, an artist's name, and you don't want anybody else to be able to use that name in the realm of performing artists, you can protect that. If you have a hair product or a makeup product or anything that you can think of, and you are a brand and you want to now distribute this, and you don't want somebody competing with the same name and confusing the public that it possibly came from you, you can protect it with a U.S. trademark. That's a little more involved, but that is certainly a high, high form of protection. It's highly, highly important to get. A patent protects separately from a brand, separately from an expression of art. It protects new inventions. Now, please understand, you cannot protect an idea. So people have an idea and they say, well, how can I protect this? You can't really protect it. You can meet with people and I arm them with non-disclosure and non-compete agreements so that you can try to box it in. But the U.S. government does not have an article to protect that. So you have to take that new invention and actually create it, create some type of, some type of example, specimen, and then you can start proceeding toward a patent. Everyone can't do patent law. Patent law requires not only that you have a law degree and pass the bar, but you also have to have an engineering science, math background, and you have to pass an additional bar called a patent bar. So that is a specialty of a specialty. I do not do patents, but I do refer out to patent attorneys because I'm not smart enough to be a patent attorney. So, yeah, that's the difference. That's the quick and dirty.
Well, what is it that they say in the Bible? Everybody can't be an eye. Everybody can't be a hand.
That's right. Exactly.
Each to their own gifts.
That's right.
All right. This is In Legal Terms. Now, not everybody has a chance to listen to our show live. So if you've missed any of the program, you can listen to the whole show on our website, inlegalterms.mpbonline.org. Our host is usually Professor Richard Gershon from the University of Mississippi School of Law, who's out today. I'm Liz Gill. So if someone was thinking of borrowing another's idea or creation, you might want to check out the 2020 Mississippi Code Title 97 Crimes, Chapter 45, Computer Crimes, Identity Theft, Section 9745.9. Offense against intellectual property and penalties, because there's some pretty big fines for that. So we don't want you to inadvertently take somebody else's invention or idea or any of their creations. So,
yes.
So be careful, folks. We're talking about intellectual property with our expert, attorney Kamel King. And one of my very favorite things is when I learn that someone is so much more than what I might have known. You know, Kamel was in my little box. Kamel is the co-host for Friday MPB's 10 a.m. Next Stop Mississippi show events because he works with Visit Mississippi.
Yes, proudly.
But no, he has this whole other box, this whole other ocean swimming pool that he's part of. He's an entertainment property. He's entertainment law and intellectual property attorney.
Yes.
I tease him on Fridays, Liz, because I know he's thinking I'm talking bad about him, but when I say he's smart, I'm like, you are so smart.
Whatever.
He is really smart. He'll say things that I'm like, oh, okay, you're not just Visit Mississippi.
Just a handsome face.
Oh,
no,
whatever.
That's right.
Oh, Lord.
All right.
You're going to make me blush.
Well, let's put some of his smarts, we'll pull out some of his smarts. We've got David from Meridian who's called in. David, we're glad you're part of In Legal Terms today. What's your comment or question?
Yes. I have two questions. I like poetry and music about God, and I was wondering if somebody changes up one of my poems, I mean, you know, take a poem out of my book and changes it up a little bit. Is that a new creation, or is that part of a copyright?
Great question. First of all, glad that you write about God, too. God be the glory. And as far as if somebody uses your poem, if they change it up significantly where it is unrecognizable that it was yours, then you would have a hard case if there were, you know, just some likenesses. But if they only changed up a little bit, you would have a case. But the first thing is first is that you would have to have an actual copyright. The federal litigation for copyright, patent, or trademark infringement is federal. It is not a state case. And to bring that case before federal court, you do have to have an actual U.S. copyright. So you would have to have filed or have somebody file and have protected it. But provided that that has happened, if it is not changed significantly and nobody can take your creation in whole or in part. So even if they lifted a part of it and it is identical to yours, then you would have a case. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I wrote a song called Ode to the 5-0, and Hilltop Records put it out. It's on the CD called America. But the thing is, they left off the last sentence of the song. Is that part of a copyright change? Or well, is it just...
I would have to really... I wouldn't know that just from what you're telling me. I'd have to really, you know, scrutinize it and give you my opinion, you know, if you were to have been a client. I wouldn't be able to tell you just from that. But again, you would have to have copyrighted it to have a case. And then from there, you know, we would have to back into it to see if you had something. And there are also statute of limitations that run. And they run usually from the time that you identify the infringement. So if let's say the time, and I'm just speaking off the cuff, let's say it's 3 years and you knew about this song and your poem and you knew that it was some infringement or felt that there was some 5 years ago, but you just pursued it now, you would be barred from bringing that case because your statute of limitations would run out. So there are several factors involved in whether I could tell you you have something to move forward on, or I would advise you that you probably wouldn't.
David, did you have a second question?
Yeah, my third question is, when I invent something and I put it on the internet, is it truly copywritten as long as my name is behind it, or is it a whole different idea?
That's a great question.
Somebody could...
Great, great question. And that, in a lot of people, the law defines that you are a new creation is immediately copyrighted once you create it. So in theory, it is. But to actually litigate and to actually pursue any type of protection or damages or anything of that nature, you must have either the copyright, the trademark, or the patent. You can't have invented it and then or created something, know that somebody or thinks that someone lifted it, and then you would be able to bring them to court. You wouldn't be able to do that. You would first have to actually get it registered, and then at that point, that's when you can do it. And I do want to be honest with you. Getting into federal court suing on copyright, trademark or patent, it is not for the weak of heart or the shortage of pockets, you know. So you want, yes, sir. That's not to discourage you. It's just to let you know that, you know, when you litigate on these type of things, there's usually a lot of money involved. And so it does take a nice purse to be able to go to federal court and do that, because it takes a lot of man hours to make these cases.
Thanks, David. We appreciate you calling in. So, Camille, my son wrote a book, and he got it published, and he has a second book that's coming out.
Nice.
So how hard is it to get a copyright on a book?
It's not difficult at all. I do a lot of – actually, my brand name is The Copyright King. I've been – want to give a shout-out to one of my best friends, Prasante Addison, who came up with that moniker for me, and I've been running with it ever since, maybe about 15 years. So I do a lot of copyrights because the process is intimidating for some people, and you need to know the nuances to know how to do it right, to pick the right application, because they will – if you do it wrong, they will say you did it wrong. They'll absorb your fee, and they say start over.
Well, that's like we've had these estate attorneys on, and they say, yeah, you can create and draft your own will, but yeah. Do you want to?
Right.
Would that right. be the best protection for you?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Getting a sure enough copyright attorney to help you walk your creation through to protect it is the way to go.
Yes, most certainly. And one thing I do want to say, even though I know we're separating this role from Visit Mississippi, and one reason why I love working for and at Visit Mississippi is because I am in the music and cultural development part of it, and so it gives me a chance to interact with a lot of artists, with a lot of music. It's really a symbiotic relationship, and I never promote myself as an attorney when I'm doing the state's work, but the blessing that it does have is if I run into them again, you know, we already know each other, have a relationship, and I may say, oh, you might not know I'm an entertainment attorney, and that ends up developing a relationship where I can help and protect them, where otherwise I may never have met them and been able to assist them.
Or just, you know, mentor and bring up the fact that you're a young creative individual, this needs to happen.
Yes.
Whoever you get to help you with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I give out tons and tons of, you know, just tidbits, not necessarily legal advice, but just, hey, follow these steps for free all the time, just in passing, because I mean, my passion is Mississippi and Mississippians and Mississippi art, you know, so that's my thing, is to protect us.
You can email us your questions. Our address is legalterms@mpbonline.org. We're talking with Camille King, intellectual property and entertainment law attorney. So, hey, if you are new to the state, maybe you're new to the planet, I'm going to let you know how you can find out more about the artists in Mississippi. That's next. You're listening to In Legal Terms on MPB Think Radio. Professor Richard Gershon is usually our expert host, but he's out today. I'm Liz Gill. I hope you'll subscribe to our podcast. Oh, hit that subscribe button so that you'll be notified when we get a new podcast episode. You can also find all the MPB Think Radio recordings on the website mpbonline.org/radio. One thing I love about Mississippi is our music history. So many artists, such rich history, are part of our story.
Yes.
And if you are interested in learning more, just take a little field trip to Mississippi Country Music Trail or Mississippi Blues Trail Marker. You can start by going to visitmississippi.org/things-to-do/music, that website, to learn about our experiences. And I'll have the link on this podcast show. We're talking about protecting our intellectual property with our guest, attorney Camille King. And so in addition to helping folks protect their intellectual property, you've got a little something to do with these trail markers too, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up, Liz. Oh, yes. And what was the how did you describe it before?
I like to geocache. You know, it's a treasure hunt. You get to you get GPS coordinates,
yep,
and you go find a treasure that somebody has left.
That is great.
And it's something to do.
I'm telling you,
it's something to do.
And that is exactly what these trails are. But they are, I mean, I have such a passion for them. Craig Ray, our former director, kind of coined them as the world's largest outdoor museum. And
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I say that a lot because that's really what it is. The Mississippi Blues and my role as tourism development bureau manager, we kind of oversee and kind of manage these trails, these music and cultural trails. So the Mississippi Blues Trail, the Mississippi Country Music Trail, the Mississippi Writers Trail, and the Mississippi Freedom Trail, which is our civil rights trail, are all under my bureau. And yes, these trail markers memorialize and commemorate people, places, train depots, the blues men, blues women, country music men and women, as well as our freedom right fighters and our, of course, all of our authors from back in the day and our contemporary new authors who have always blasted, you know, the literary scene. These markers commemorate them and they are there forever. And so tourists. I mean, it is the biggest tourist attraction.
Oh my gosh, people from all over the world. We just take for granted, you know, what's down the street by the gas station. Mm-hmm. But people from all over the world come to see these markers and to learn these stories that we might take for granted.
Oh, yes, yes. So, I mean, you can be in the smallest town in Mississippi and somebody from Sweden will pop up because they religiously, you know, people from all over the country follow these trails and they want to go to each one. And more than that, they want to experience the community that those markers reside in.
Well, we are the hospitality state. So folks, come on down.
Come on.
We've got three phone calls. So first let's go to Rodney in Hattiesburg. Rodney, we're so glad you've called in today. What's your comment or question?
Okay. It's a pleasure to talk to Mr. Kamel. I read about him. I heard about him some time back. My name is Rodney. I live in Hattiesburg, Mississippi right now, but I'm from New Orleans. I'm a songwriter from back in the day. I've been fooling around with the music business, got a music background from back in the days. And my question is, I used to do music business consulting. I haven't been doing that lately. But can you comment on currently, technology has done a lot of things to the last 10, 15 years to music, for songwriters, artists. Can you comment on current streaming royalties, mechanical royalties for songwriters and music publishers? I have a couple of songs that I wrote back in the day for New Orleans artists that's all over YouTube. I have a friend of mine that did a lot of recording right there in Jackson and Malico, and he's got a lot of stuff that's been out there, and there's some concern about a lot of money owed by certain music companies, and I won't call any names, but there's a lot of people, a lot of songwriters, who and their heirs, that's another important, the heirs of songwriters and artists that's deceased.
Yes, sir.
Don't have estates set up, and there's a lot of money. I know tons of artists in my hometown of New Orleans, and I'm getting ready to work with an organization I'm founding to address some of this, and I'm going to need a real good attorney, somebody like you, to work with me on this. There's a lot of stuff going on, and these heirs, who are legitimate heirs to some of these songwriters that's deceased or artists that's deceased, don't know how to go about collecting whatever's due them if they are qualified heirs. So can you comment on some of that? I know you can't do it all, but it's specifically on current mechanical rights. Rates now, if you know what they are, and I'll listen, and maybe I'd like to privately get with you and find how to contact you, and you would be a good person to work with me on some of this stuff if you were interested.
Thanks, Rodney. We'll have Kamel's information on the podcast information for this show. But yeah, with MPB, when we post things on YouTube, if there's even a hint of some kind of pre-recorded song, YouTube will dock us on that. How do the royalties work on streaming?
Yeah. Well, that was a great question, a very loaded question, and you're right. It would take...
You have 20 minutes.
I know. I can't even begin to unpack it all, but to kind of glaze it over, I deal with that a lot, sir. And I tell you, it's a heart-wrenching thing, especially when a family knows that my grandfather or my grandmother or my great aunt, created this song that... has gone all over the globe, and now it's being streamed again, and it's had two or three lives, and families aren't deriving any type of monetary gain from it, and those things happen more than and I get clients with situations like that more than or families that of artists that have passed on. So first of all, the what makes it a loaded question is it's usually a mess, you know, and there's no two ways about it. It's a tangled up ball of knots, and it is not, there isn't one string that you pull and it all, you know, straightens out and then the money flow starts to open up to the family. It just simply does not work like that. It takes a lot of going backwards and a lot of research and a lot of putting puzzle pieces together to try to make a case to go, and then finding who to go after, because a lot of times, just like cars, just like homes, you know, title passes on from different people. So who may have taken it, you know, in 1975 wrongfully from a, you know, one of your family members, that has now passed title to their heirs, and then maybe who they sold it off to in an administrative deal, you know, in a rights sell-off, you know. So it may have passed legal title three or four times. So who owns it now isn't really the person that you have the beef with, you know. And so it really is one of those things that is case by case. But what I can say is there are always a list of things to do that I arm clients and just people. I'll just give the information away of how to protect it. And it goes the same way every time. And what I try to do is educate somebody to where it's muscle memory. It's like, okay, I created this song. Let me copyright it. Let me register it with my ASCAP or BMI or CSAC, which is a performing rights organization, the splits, who wrote it, who produced it, what are those splits? Let's reduce that down to numbers in split sheets or actual agreements, co-publishing or songwriting agreements. These things knock out all the mystery so that eons later, there is no mystery. You know, registering it on Sound Exchange to collect, you know, your non-interactive streaming rights like Pandora, satellite radio, registering it, you know, with other organizations to make sure that you're getting your streaming royalties with YouTube. Anytime, like you said, Liz, if somebody has registered their stuff right, and you use it on YouTube, it's like a fingerprint that is on the song or the creation. YouTube will scan and figure out, hey, you're using this. It'll let the owner know, do you want to let them use it? Do you want to take it down? Or do you want to just derive some of their monetary benefit from their streams of people watching it? So there are technological, as you said, sir, technological advances that have now matched up with protecting these rights, but you got to protect them. Otherwise, it's just a ball of, and you can't come to somebody like myself or another firm throughout the country with a ball of knots and say, untwist this. And, you know, and I just need you to untwist it. It is an arduous process and it is an expensive process.
So youngins or those who are first starting out, you know, as anything, it's easier to start as you mean to go.
There you go. Yep. Start how you want to finish. Yep. And most people learn the hard way, but you should only learn the hard way a time or two. You should not keep creating that. You know, there's a system of things to do. Muscle memory, do it every time, because what you don't know is what's going to stick against the wall. The public figures that out. The throwaway song you thought you didn't need to protect is the one the world will pick.
Yeah, no, Baby Shark or something stupid like
that. Yeah, Lord Jesus. Yes.
All right. Create, copyright, register, and make sure you got your splits and register with everybody.
Register with everybody.
And if you're one of these prolific Taylor Swift writes 700 songs, 1, 2, 3, 4, you just got to do it for everybody.
It's a lottery.
Yeah.
It truly is. It's a lottery. Uh-huh. And you never know what ticket is going to hit, so you protect each ticket like it's the winning lottery.
Oh, I love that. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Powerball is
boom,
like a billion.
I know.
Professor Gershon, we and Ryder Taff on Money Talks, heard on MPB Think Radio at 9 a.m. on Tuesdays. You know, we've talked about the lottery. You know, it's a tax.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're willing to pay that $2 tax.
Well, I'm the person that never buys tickets. That's always behind people buying or cashing in lottery tickets. Like, God, dog, I got a meeting to go to.
Well, okay. Anyway, that's a whole other show. And in fact, we've got podcasts on that.
I know that's right.
We've got a little bit of time left. Rodney, thanks for your call. Link in Tupelo, you hang on. We're going to get to you next. There's a few minutes left. If you've got a call, 1-877-MPB-RING, or go to our email address, legalterms@mpbonline.org. Now, what if you need to get a hold of an intellectual property attorney other than Camille King, whose information will be on our podcast for this show? I'll tell you where you can start next. Thank you for being part of In Legal Terms. Hey, if you've missed any of our program, don't forget you can listen to the whole show on the MPB Think Radio YouTube channel. That YouTube, they capture everything. And I love now that they have a transcript section. I think they do it for all the uploads. And so you can just go to the transcript and you could type in copyright and it would hit the marks on where in this podcast we said the word copyright. Sometimes technology can be okay. Sometimes okay. Our show is also available on the MPB Public Media app, as are all our local shows. Our host is usually Professor Richard Gershon from the University of Mississippi School of Law. He's out today. I'm Liz Gill. At 11 a.m. Central on Tuesdays, following our over-the-air broadcast, you can hear Southern Remedies, relatively speaking, with Dr. Susan Buttress on MPB Think Radio. So we're talking with Camille King, intellectual property and entertainment law attorney. And, you know, I haven't looked at Camille's calendar, but he probably can't help everybody in Mississippi with their legal issues. But so luckily, the Mississippi Bar has a page for attorneys.
Yes.
They have a way to find an attorney for whatever your topic might be. So you can just go to msbar.org and peruse all you like. Maybe you see somebody you go to church with, somebody that you know that you didn't know was an attorney that might be able to help you. Okay, so we've got Link, who's been patiently holding from Tupelo. Link, what's your comment or question for Camille King?
Well, good morning. I know they call you the kingmaker, Mr. King, but I'd be happy just to be pauper status at this point. I've been on the creation and performance end of things most of the way, and actually you kind of almost answered my question when you're talking to Rodney. The order of operations, you know, allegedly from the moment you write the lyrics or you record the melody on your little Sears and Roebuck cassette recorder, whatever, it's copyrighted. But, you know, if you don't have the proof of it, you know, it's useless. Anyway, to then copyright it, you have to have a publishing company or go through a publishing company. Well, what if you wanted to create your own? Do you have to do that first, create the publishing company first, and then go through the other step? What's the order of operations there if you want to take something you created and cross all the I's and dot all the T's?
Yes. Well, you can actually copyright it without having to have a publishing company. And I do that for individuals all the time. It is better to have a publishing company because that is a more professional operation. Because when you're registering on ASCAP or BMI and you're writing and creating songs, you want to open a writer's account and a publishing account. And the publishing account is going to capture what is called public performance royalties. So when it is played on the radio for the public, it has a public performance royalty. When it's played at a restaurant or in an elevator for the public.
We have to fill out that kind of stuff here at MPB.
Exactly. So you buy licenses every year, and a piece of that goes to these songwriters and these publishers. But yes, sir, you would want to have a publishing company because that then becomes the business that owns and administrates those rights to those songs. But you don't have to. You can copyright it and just, you know, if your name is John Smith, John Smith owns the copyright to the song.
Okay. So basically, create a, if you wanted to own it yourself, you create the publishing company so that when you copyright everything and you put it onto that, that way if you did, let's say you live streamed it or something on YouTube, and you control the rights from that point forward, because that's another form of media.
Correct.
I'm like I said, I record my stuff on old cassette recorder because I'm an old guy and whatnot, but I'm just now kind of wanting to refresh and get back into all of this music stuff.
Yes, certainly. Well, that never dies. It's not like a surgeon hands that get old and shaky.
How old was Johnny Cash when he did that last album? He was old, and then that album just went skyrocket.
Yes, and shout out to Johnny Cash, who has a country music trail marker in over by Mississippi State. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, Link, thank you so much for helping us clarify that. So if he was talking a little bit about music. If you are publishing a book, it would be good to file the copyright for that before it actually is made into a book, so you can have in the book that it's copyright?
Yes. Got the book made, certainly before you start shopping publishers or putting the book out, because you don't want anybody to steal the book and then they copyright it. Because again, when you come before court, if somebody took your book and they went and copyrighted it in their name and they're holding the title, even though they stole it, they're holding that, and you would have to then prove, through your demonstrative evidence that you owned it before them. So yeah, just instead of going through all of that, and I tell people, get in the habit of doing good business. Good business begets good business. So if you treat your intellectual property sloppily, then you will get paid sloppily, and people will take things from you. If you treat it like your business and like it is a lottery ticket and you do the right things by it, then it'll always pay off.
Well, and if someone is a fabulous musician, they might not be a good business person.
Yes.
And that's when you have to surround yourself with people you trust.
Yes.
Who are ethical.
Yes. That is the key word, Liz, but certainly. And get an intellectual property entertainment attorney, not a divorce attorney, not a land attorney, these nuances are so specific. You can't moonlight in this game right here. You have to do it every day to understand it and be able to actually, or you will seriously hurt a client. So I wouldn't want, somebody who does my will to be my dentist, So, it's just that night and day. So you want to be specific about that.
So when there's so many parts that are integral to creating a collaborative art. Mm-hmm. And is that, what you're talking about, with the splits? Because you could have the person who wrote the song, the person who sang the song, the person who, now we've got so much technology, the mixer of the song, that adds its own unique twist to make it art.
Yes, a great, great point. And these are conversations that you want to get in the habit of having while it's being created or once it's done. And that's very hard for an artist or a creative to have these type of conversations. So you want to have a professional who can do it for you, but you want to have them immediately after it's created. While it's fresh, everybody knows what everybody did, no money is coming in, there's no fight. You don't want to negotiate those things once it's put out into the stratosphere. And that's unfortunately a mistake that most creatives make.
And if you are not necessarily a creative, but maybe a good interpreter, mm-hmm. you need to be careful about what you do with someone else's art, or if you transform it, materially transform it. Or I'm sure there's some kind of buzzword.
Sample. Yes. I clear samples all the time, and people get in trouble for not clearing samples all the time. So you want to be very careful about that. Sampling people's stuff, putting it out, taking a piece of someone's book, as the other gentleman said, taking his poem, because it can come back and bite you. And if it's worth enough, people will pursue it and come for you.
You know, we could, I don't know. Oh, Dr. Buttress is here. We always feel we could just do a whole extra hour, but Dr. Buttress comes and she's going to talk about mental health. And
ooh,
I guess
come
that's
talk to me, doctor. All this intellectual property in a mess. I'm not going to claim that.
Well, we're so glad that you stopped by. Man, I had to get on this guy's calendar a couple months ago.
Don't you do that, Liz. Don't you do that.
We're so glad that Kamel was able to come by. Not only is he an intellectual property entertainment attorney, we're so glad that he's a public servant.
Yes.
With Visit Mississippi, helping spread the good news of Mississippi and its fantastic citizens.
That's
and
right.
The wealth of artists that we have in our state.
Yes. Shout out Rochelle. Shout out Teresa, Michelle, and Maggie.
Oh, all right. So this is going to wrap us up for In Legal Terms. Our team consists of Jermaine Flood, who was our board engineer today, and Trey was our intern call screener, and Charles Arnold is our
yes.
podcast producer. I hope you'll join us next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central for In Legal Terms on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.